Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my unique privilege to welcome a dear friend from Tel Aviv, Israel, Mr. Oded Dror. Oded, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and good morning, India. I miss you all.
Oded has lived and worked in several countries. He was in India for and spent a reasonably long period of time. He's now back in Israel. And Oded specializes in resolving management crises. So Oded, you obviously had a very fascinating career and life. What would you say are three key milestones in your life or career?
This is interesting because, you know, as you see that I don't have a lot of hair like you guys on there. So I've been in the world of business and industry for some times now. Mm-hmm. But I will never forget when I first graduated from my degree in Israel. Mm-hmm. And I was sent on a scholarship to State University of New York at Buffalo. Okay. And I had to choose another major, another degree to bring back to Israel. Mm-hmm. And I was a young, early 20s, and I chose to study environmental and consumer studies.
Wow, okay.
All back to the 70s, mm-hmm. environmental, sustainability.
Nobody spoke about it.
Words were not even known to anybody.
Today.
And to be honest, this is the reason why I chose it. Because I thought it would be easy, nothing, you know, to study. It's very, you know, it would be fast and I can enjoy life in a big city and come back. I just want to tell you, it turned to be the most difficult and unexpected subject to take, especially when you come from a country. My English was very poor at that time. Not that I'm best now, but, you know, it was very poor at that time. And it was, the words they used, you know. I had to study, for example, household equipment and learn how to things are happening and you do in the world of environment.
Okay.
But it gave me one step ahead and understanding the world of the environment and the importance of the environment, which now today we see how important it is to make sure that the that we are all keeping to our world and want to continue living. This was the first one, and I came back obviously to Israel as a young guy,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of what we call in our language, in the language of Hebrew, chutzpah.
Okay.
Chutzpah means a bit of guts. You know, things that in Israel, people who were born in Israel are described as a kind of a cactus that is, you know, when the fruit is very, very sweet inside, but outside is very, it's not so.
Yeah. Right.
Not so
tough outside.
Yes. So, you know, I came back to Israel and my second point was looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
As a young boy coming with, as I said, a lot of, with self-confidence, all the way from New York, you know, blah, 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 a lot of, and I was looking for a job. And as you know, in India, and you know, probably in every country, you need some connection. So my father had a friend who knew a friend that wanted to offer me a job. So I went down to this place and I had an interview with a guy who at that point I thought he was old. I think he was 40 something, maybe 50.
Yeah.
But you know, for young boys he said. And I was walking in the corridor to meet him. And he was sitting in the small room there, and he said, hello, you know, my name is David. What purpose brought you in? And I said, you know, your friend, I've met a friend, their friend. He said that, you know, if I come to you, you give me a job. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, thinking, okay, mm-hmm. who is this guy? But he said, you know, I don't have any job for you.
Okay.
I started to walk back mm-hmm. and say, hello, thank you very much. But I was, again, I came back and I said, but you know, just tell me, this guy told me you're going to give me a job. He said, okay, sit down. You never said job. You just said, you know, that you want to be this, you know, you're studying, you're that, you know, you want to be a manager, you want to be that, you know, that. Job, work, you can start tomorrow. But go back to the factory, start at the bottom, and grow up, you know. And he taught me a lesson that I'm trying to share with whoever wants to listen. That, you know, passion, you know, you have to start, you have to make sure you get the roots and the base and you can grow up. Anyway, to cut the story short, I ended up being the marketing manager, and then I was maybe of one of the branches of the company. So that was the second one.
Okay.
And obviously the third one is after taking you many, many years after when I ended up in China, again, just by coincidence, I met the guy who we had the, you know, we had dinner. I was in another job and sourcing there in China, you know, this that time, you know, all you did is source from China cheap goods. And he said to me, are you interested in a job in China?
Mm-hmm.
No. This is not something I had on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, after I was listening to him, I just picked up the phone, I called my wife on the other side in Israel, and I asked her, you know, would you mind if we move for years to China? Story, end of the story, I ended up there 9 years and then moved to India for 3 years, and I did a lot of work and consulting work in China and India.
Wonderful. So tell me, you know, you do a lot of work in resolving management crisis. How do you define management crisis?
I would say that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, obviously the management crisis and people can tell you are same almost across the board, depends on, you know, different industry, but management is a management. Mm. And I would always say that it's a situation of unhappy partners or workers with a broken communication, or I would say just bring people together to solve different challenges.
Okay.
You know, I learned during my years that use the word problem is wrong. If you can turn the word problem to a challenge, you immediately move from negative things to a positive thing.
Well said.
And if you use this attitude, I can't say 100% of 100% you will win, but you can win.
Okay. Interesting. And when you are faced with, you know, you say you get a consulting assignment and you're faced with a crisis, what are the steps you take? Can you give me an example without any names?
I will tell you, it's the practice telling you always that, you know, you just need first to get in to collect some information, and you know, but you always have to remember that, like in all relations, quality or business dispute, there are more two sides to the coin, and sometimes even more. And what you need is to observe with creativity and then start, you know, doing your step-by-step solution. And it's a very, I try to make it short, you know, I know we won't have the whole day, but I would love to talk to you anytime you want to get me on the air. Yeah. But you know, I got a phone call from a CEO of a well-known company in Australia. Mm-hmm. And she called me one day when I was in China. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, I need your help. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, you know, what you want to do? He said, I want you to go to this factory in near Shanghai and just look at the situation. Mm-hmm. I have their factory with workers that now are on strike. Okay. And they don't want to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And for me, this is going to affect all my result of the years and, you know, goods that need to come to Australia and also to go all over the world. Mm-hmm. So I landed in Shanghai because I was at Qingdao at that time, mm-hmm. which is another city.
Yeah.
Down north of China.
Yeah.
And I got a guy who obviously waited for me with a car and took me to the factory. Mm-hmm. I came to the factory and I was greeted by a very grumpy looking Chinese lady, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. who was supposed to be my assistant or whatever. Yeah. And she took me, showed me the factory, which is not important, and she took me upstairs and I thought she gave me a key, and I thought she gave me a key to my office or to whatever, yeah, but she took me to a place upstairs and showed me and said, Mr. Drury, do you see this door at the end of the corridor? Mm-hmm. Use this key, mm-hmm. open the door, mm-hmm. go up the floor, mm-hmm. go to the top floor, mm-hmm. then jump to the next building, which mm-hmm. is just around, go down, and there will be somebody that will wait for you, mm-hmm. in an emergency case. Mm-hmm. This is the first way, you know, the first how I found out mm-hmm. what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Ended up that the guy who was running it, who was an Australian guy, mm-hmm. thought that he can save some money to the company by doing telling the workers mm-hmm. who are from a rural area, you know, in China, a lot yeah. of them are coming from rural, that they go to the Chinese holiday mm-hmm. normally for, they go home for like a month. And he told them, look, guys, when you come back, mm-hmm. I already stopped two things for you. One is you'll not be able to have accommodation anymore. And secondly, you will not be provided with lunch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, just between, just, you know, your audience will understand, food and shelter is one of the basic that most companies in China yeah. provide to their workers who are coming from a rural area. Mm. He thought that they might be scared and might not come back. Mm. And he can save a lot of compensation, money, and so on. So. Ended up that the guys came back and he didn't want to provide them and they were on strike. Mm-hmm. Simple, right? It's yeah. not a, it's not a huge, you know, but I had to face almost 56 court cases
wow.
in a Chinese court mm. with a Chinese judge who, you know, in China, they are not there. They're appointed by the government, by the central government, and with people who I don't speak the language with even lawyer that I had to have a translator to make the short, you know, the short story ended. I managed to understand the culture, understand the different, understand the reason that they were on strike. It wasn't really a matter of, you know, just money. Mm-hmm. It was really in them. And it was after 10 months that I stayed there, I managed to get the factory. Obviously, after a month, I got the factory up and running. I had to stay another few months until I was handing it over to a Chinese guy who was managing it and managing it till today. And obviously, this was, you know, a crisis, a management crisis. Simple, not so complicated. The good show everyone and show us that when you have people in from another country trying to manage a company in another country, if they don't take some notice of the culture different, the faith, the way people, the family life, things that you need to observe.
So, you know, you have worked both in China and in India. What, in your opinion, are the cultural similarities and differences?
No, I'm not, to be fair, I'm not an expert, not in, you
and,
know.
And I'm not looking for any criticism or any kind of.
You know, I'm only a simple guy who was, you know, trying my best. And obviously, I can see a lot of differences between the culture in China, culture in India. Obviously, the two countries has a different government setup.
Sure.
One is a central government. One is a
let me stop you for a minute. In terms of, you know, management and relationship with workers.
Yes.
How are they different? And we don't have so much time left.
This one is very simple. In China, most of it come as a direction from the top, and most of the companies are huge, big companies. A lot of them has a government either part or influence. There is not a lot of small and medium businesses.
Right.
While in India, I found that still today, a lot of the businesses are either family business or a medium, small to medium businesses, and plus there is a lot of you know, it's not a one country. It's not like China is it? It is, but India has so many different small, I would say, governments that rules different parts of the country, and the coordination between them is very, very difficult. Plus, still in India, you are facing a lot of administration.
Correct.
And bureaucracy that I hope, wish that it will be dealt with sooner than later.
I agree. And India and Israel have very strong relationships. So,
yeah.
So, you know, one more question for you, which is, you know, you speak of love as a business strategy. Help me understand this comment.
You're talking about the China and India.
No, I'm saying that you say that love as a business strategy is something that I was reading when I was reading about you. What is your thinking on love as a business strategy?
What I learned during my 12 years now in China and in India, that one of the weapons that, you know, you can use to mediate between different culture, different country, different businesses, different setup of businesses is use love and empathy.
Okay.
If you do that, you win both sides. You have to impress them. You can't just go and come as a number person and just show people, you know, this is here and this is that, and you can. You need to listen. You need to understand. You need to get everyone on board and try to use this love and empathy, and I managed to do it. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, I would tell you one thing that maybe will surprise you. Yeah, in my opinion, no technology has been developed to handle this kind of situation. Mm. They needed, you see, all these people needed someone to come all the way from Israel to resolve this international conflict. Mm. Now, this is Chinese, this is Australian, this is Indian. They could, you know, why do you need them and Israeli? Yeah, but I think that love and empathy turned out to be the key.
Interesting. So, Oded, I have time for two questions for you, which I call my personal questions. My first question is, what does success mean to Oded after such an amazing career you've had all over the world?
Interesting question. If you ask me this 50 years back, it's different than I would say nowadays. You know, nowadays, after I feel that I fulfilled myself, not 100%, still have a long way to go, but I feel that I have some milestone already in my pocket, and I achieved a certain goals in my life, but I want to stay happy, healthy, and loved.
Wonderful. Well
said. I think if I could do that in my, how do you say, the rest of the time left to all of us to be here, then I would be very happy.
Wonderful. And my last question to you, you know, you've lived all over the world. You've done, you know, from running businesses to resolving management crisis. You know, you've worked with multiple nationalities. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
I tell you, again, it's interesting because I have to go back to think, you know, what really inspired me, you know, most. And I think while I was traveling, and believe me, I was traveling from America, the UK, Eastern Europe, Indonesia, I work in India, I work in China, I work in so many, Australia, in so many countries.
Correct.
Meeting new people from a different culture and mindset really, really inspired. And I would not say that my family didn't inspire me. I had a lot of good people that I met during my but I took this from the people I met during my journey.
Okay. Very interesting. Well said. So I think I can ask you one more question, and that is that if you, Oded, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
You tackle me with a very interesting question. I don't think I would change anything. I live a life of, you know, full. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, this song of My Way, and you know, it says that I live the life that full, travel each and every highway, and more than that, I did it my way.
Well said.
I would say to millions of people, go your way. Enjoy the route, enjoy the journey, and go your way.
Yes. Oded, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. And I know that you have not a few years, you've got many, many years to contribute to some great things in the world.
And I tell you, if you're asking the last question, just that, you know, if what I'm looking forward to do now is really continue sharing my experience with many people, young and old, just to make sure that I leave something for the next generation.
Absolutely. Well, maybe you should think of writing a book on all your incredible experiences.
You know, I may come to you, you know, because you are the author. You are the one. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
And God bless India, and just get out of this, coronavirus, and we can come and visit you.
I agree. No, we're getting out. We're getting out now. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.